Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic, and thankfully my marriage is not nearly as bad as Homer and Marge's, because this is just pathetic.
Well, half of it, you know? I don't know. It depends how much you want to talk about. We can talk about codependency and, you know, enablers and all that stuff. But, you know, I think we'll probably delve into that as the episode goes on. Hey, guys out there, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus material, including bonus episodes that are, you know,
it's monthly, super bonus.
Super bonus, monthly bonus episodes, new episode reviews, weekly written pieces by me, random videos of us making eating moon waffles and other stuff. There's other rewards on the horizon. I encourage you to check it out. The show is ad-free because of that. We have someone to thank this week, Matthew.
Woo!
Woo! Andy Camp. Thank you very much, Andy, for supporting us. We appreciate it.
Andy, you rock. You are the man and or woman.
Oh, well, it's Andy with a Y, I assume it's, but you know, it's,
well,
You never know. Also, if you want to help us out another way, go on to iTunes or wherever you listen to us, whatever podcatcher service you use. It probably all filters up to iTunes anyway. It seems most of them eat off of that service anyway. But give us a 5-star review, subscribe to us. It really helps us out, helps more people find the show, and we really appreciate it. On to this week's episode. It is Secrets of a Successful Marriage, episode 1F20, originally aired May 19th, 1994, written by Greg Daniels, directed by Carlos Baeza. Nielsen rating of 9.8, the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following Melrose Place. So, again, not first. It's all right. It's okay. We know Simpsons are so great. It doesn't matter what number they are. They're number one in our heart.
And other places, like in any objective ranking of television. I think Melrose Place goes somewhere near the bottom middle.
I have never watched Melrose Place, so I'm not going to try and speak like I have. Maybe it's really good.
I saw like half of one episode, and it,
That was enough?
That was enough.
Okay. The chalkboard gag, 5 days is not too long to wait for a gun, which is a...
Wow.
Not terrific. Not really a Bart statement. That is more of a writer statement about I believe at the time the Brady Bill had just passed or was going. We're not going to delve into gun control, at least in this episode. We'll wait for the Cartridge family to talk about guns.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a hot potato.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. The couch gag: family hits each other as they're running for the couch and explodes, leaving only a scorch mark and Maggie's pacifier.
Woo.
It's a repeat. It's at the end of the season, we just hit, you know, you hit like all the ones that we've seen. The episode guest stars Phil Hartman as Lionel Hutz. Very briefly, again.
Very, very briefly.
The last few times Phil has appeared on the show has not been very meaty. It's been just very, you know, one-liner here and there kind of stuff. This is also the last episode of season 5.
A very odd way to end it.
Yeah, I don't know. We can talk about it. The episode begins with a poker night at, I guess it's Lenny's house, because Lenny's the only one left.
Lenny's there at the morning, unless it's Carl's house, and then we have some very interesting things to talk about.
Well, not yet in the show. they're playing poker. It's Homer, Moe, Lenny, Carl, and is anyone else? Am I forgetting someone?
Barney.
Barney's there? Okay. Homer plays good, but not on purpose. He doesn't know what the hands are in poker, and ends up winning, and then Lenny... Like, they start, Mo picks on him, and then Lenny tries to defend him, saying, like, yeah, he's you know, Homer's fine, he's just a little slow. And then this starts kind of the wheel turning in Homer's head. It has, like, a Forrest Gump moment, I guess, where he starts to realize, like, he's, like, people think he's not smart, and by the time he realizes it, everyone else is left.
And it's in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night. Homer's brain, he might be slow. But he... proposes this as a joke to the family the next morning at breakfast, and they don't think it's as funny as he does.
How come you're not laughing? Do you think I'm slow?
Bah. Snap. We don't think you're slow, but on the other hand, it's not like you go to museums or read books or anything.
You think I don't want to? It's those TV networks, Marge. They won't let me. One quality show after another, each one fresher and more brilliant than the last. If they only stumbled once, just gave us 30 minutes to ourselves. But they won't. They won't let me live.
I really don't know if that was true in the mid-90s, but it's certainly true now.
I think that Homer's view of television is that it's always great.
That's true. TV is the greatest thing to ever happen to Homer, outside of, you know, food specials and all-you-can-eat buffets.
Yeah, it's, I don't think it, like, we've seen multiple times that he is a fan of bad television, so it doesn't really matter.
You mean Admiral Baby?
Yes, Admiral Baby. That's a good example, Matt. Marge, later on, they're in bed, they're you know, having their pillow talk like they normally do. And Marge is talking about taking, maybe he should take an adult education course, you know, to enlighten himself a little bit. You know, maybe it will spark something inside. And he is offended by this, actually. And I don't, this whole episode is kind of mean about adult education. Right?
Like, yeah, they act like there's nothing important to be gleaned from, at least from the courses that we see.
I guess that's, I mean, it's Springfield. So
that's kind of true.
Yeah.
I know in most adult education programs, they have lots of interesting things, especially cooking classes.
Yeah, there is plenty to learn. And I mean, and honestly, adults who are like, usually, unless it's like a forced like traffic school or something like that, generally adults who are attending these courses are very engaged and because they want to learn. It, you know, you're not forced into it like you are as a kid, so you're genuinely very like interested in what you're learning. We see the adult education annex. Homer takes a tour, basically. We see Selma and Patty teaching a class about how to get a man.
Which really, really, that just...
Yeah. Mo is teaching a self-defense course, which involves, I guess, dance battles.
That's true. It's like the American version of capoeira.
I guess so. Yeah, that's... It's very like...
I think it was inspired by the Power Rangers and the Black Rangers Hip Hop Kiddo, I believe it was called.
I don't know what those words are.
Fair enough.
I don't know. Like that.
I just like Mo using the words "fly girl."
He was
Mad TV.
He was watching In Living Color. You know, he's a Fox. He's a fan of the Fox Network. And Lenny is teaching class about how to spit tobacco correctly, not chew tobacco correctly, but spit.
Exactly.
Which I'm not even get started about how disgusting chewing tobacco is. Homer, he sees, I guess, how the class reacts to Lenny. Like, someone they all, like, admire him. Like, you can see, like, the entire class is, like, hanging on his every word. And,
well, he's a pro at spitting tobacco, and every man needs to know how to do that, apparently.
Sure. Homer decides he wants to teach a course. He wants to have that feeling. You know, he wants to feel smart and feel... admire, like, feel like people appreciate his intelligence or his knowledge. I feel like that is kind of the core of a lot of this, is that he feels like he's not respected for intelligence. And his feelings are hurt, and so he wants to kind of redeem that. He wants to, his ego has been bruised. So he goes to, I guess, like, I don't know what the guy's title would be, but he's the guy who runs the adult education annex, I suppose, and they have a kind of discussion about what Homer could teach.
What is your area of expertise?
Well, I can tell the difference between butter and I can't believe it's not butter.
No, you can't, Mr. Simpson. No one can.
Oh, I failed again. Everybody can teach a class but me. I'm an idiot. What am I going to tell my wife and kids?
Oh, you're married?
That depends. Is there another way to get this job?
No, Mr. Simpson, what I mean is, we may have a job for you after all. We need someone to teach a course on how to build a successful marriage.
I'll do it. Anything to get me out of that house, away from all that nagging and noise of a family of love. Sha-la-la-la.
Wow.
So
Homer is never ashamed to hit on guys, apparently.
No, and there is a little bit homophobia later on, but of course it is immediately played off again. But yeah, it's Homer is blatantly like not afraid of, I don't know, appearing gay at all. Which I don't know. That's a whole, we'll talk about it more when we get to that episode, I suppose. Yeah. But he's very proud that he's going to be teaching a class. He is telling everyone. He goes to the drive-thru at the Krusty Burger to tell the pimply, the squee voice teen to about him, that he's teaching a class. Where else does he go? He goes somewhere else to tell people.
I honestly don't remember.
I can't remember.
I just remember all the crazy jokes.
Yeah, but he's very proud with his family, and he ruins two jackets in making. He puts tweed patches on a leather jacket instead of the other way around. Lisa is interested in his how he's going to teach his class. You know, what is going to be his practice? He is confused.
And makes it very obvious she knows far more about that than he is.
And we quickly find out that Homer has zero plans on how to actually teach this class. He stands around like, I can't pull a clip because it's just him going for about a minute. It's maybe not a minute, but it's a while. Like, he just...
It's a very Sideshow Bob and the Rakes kind of moment.
Yeah, it's very much like, how long can they pull this out where he's doing nothing? Eventually, Skinner actually proposes, hey, why don't we just, like, tell you our problems with, like, relationships, and then you can kind of, I guess, you know, answer our questions or comment, and... We get Otto and Skinner himself talk about it. Matt,
sorry, what?
Skinner, does he mention his problems? I can't remember. I know
he does not. He's the one who suggests.
I know there's Otto and I'm trying to think if there's another
Lionel Hutz,
right? And Lionel Hutz with Miss Krabappel. And
right.
Then,
he's a real user of women, and Mrs. Krabappel is a smart woman who makes bad decisions.
Which, perfect couple right there. Yeah. And then we get a flashback to Smithers' history with women.
I was married once, but I just didn't know how to keep it together.
Come on, Waylon. Make love to me the way you used to.
No.
It's that horrible Mr. Burns, isn't it?
You leave Mr. Burns out of it! Smithers!
A little interesting little view into Smithers' personal history that we have never seen before. This is the first time we've seen that.
Apparently he was a married man at some point.
Yeah, this is, it's kind of a play off of, two of Tennessee Williams plays, both The Streetcar Named Desire and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, kind of mixed together. Smithers is
that
actually...
makes you wonder, was his Malibu Stacy collection around then, or did that happen after he
I'm guessing that happened after. That'd be my guess. But Smithers is actually an excellent character to, I think, use for that reference. I think that is a good reference for Smithers, because Tennessee Williams was famously, a closeted homosexual and struggled a lot with that, and...
an alcoholic.
And yes, and I think Smithers is a great representation of Tennessee Williams' protagonist, and Tennessee Williams himself. But Homer isn't even listening to these people talking at this point, and he is, though, eating an orange. I had to pull this.
Well, you see, marriage is a lot like an orange. First, you have the skin, then the sweet, sweet innards.
So
that is the weirdest sounding orange ever.
When I'm trying to think of, you know, problems, solutions to conflicts in my relationship, I always go orange. How can I solve this using an orange analogy? It always works.
Well, I mean, oranges are the key to all knowledge. I mean, if you open up every orange, the number 42 is printed right on the label. I mean, that's all you need to know.
I don't know what oranges you are. Is there a special orange brand that you... I mean, we are in Florida. We're in Orange Central.
Are you telling me the oranges you eat don't have the number 42 inscribed on them?
Okay.
Must be my secret Illuminati oranges. Never mind. Then I didn't say
it's a stonecutter orange.
There you go.
But the class is kind of getting bored of Homer, like, very shortly. And I don't blame them. Homer's a bad teacher. He is a terrible teacher. He, however, starts gossiping about Marge. I not even gossiping, really. Just telling them about Marge, like, secrets between them about Marge. Like, the fact she dyes her hair, I think that's the main thing we hear this time. We get more later on. But at this point, I think it's, you know, about her hair dye. I forget other if there's anything else. What is exactly the thing that cuts to commercial? I can't remember.
He goes to talk to the order box again at the Krusty Burger.
Oh, right. Voice team. Yeah, that's, yes.
And he needs closure on the anecdote.
Yeah, the cops eventually, however, show up to arrest Homer, and he drives away. And
well, it's a felony to tease the order box in Springfield, apparently.
Yeah, don't tease the order box. And Homer drives away, and we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Marge shopping in the Quickie Mart, and everyone there knows that she dyes her hair. Apu recommends her what he believes to be her color. Mo disagrees with this. I don't know how those two men know what particular hair dye Marge would be using. Mrs. Krabappel also says that they love Homer's class, and Marge, embarrassed, runs out because apparently no one knows that she dyes her hair except for Homer. She goes home and immediately confronts Homer and says, you have to stop doing this right now. This is awful. And Homer responds in a very Homer fashion.
Look, Mark, you don't know what it's like. I'm the one out there every day putting his ass on the line. And I'm not out of order. You're out of order. The whole freaking system is out of order. You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth! Because when you reach over and put your hand into a pile of goo, that was your best friend's face. You'll know what to do. Forget it, Marge. It's Chinatown.
Homer, don't ever tell them personal stuff about me again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, there are two parts about that that are really good. One is they did a fantastic job of stringing together all those movie references. It actually almost felt right. That those words were all together, and then Marge at the end literally grabbing Homer by the shirt and screaming into his face.
Stop.
It's not something you see from Marge. It's so great.
Yeah, it's anytime the Marge gets angry, it something, you know, whenever she that flip switches or switch flips, there you go. It's always interesting because she's so generally so calm and
It's like the episode with the investorettes when there's the little Asian guy on the lawn and Homer's like, oh, he's going to do something great. That's exactly the way it is. You just know something great's going to come out of Marge when she gets mad.
And those references for those keeping track at home are from Injustice for All, A Few Good Men, Patton, and Chinatown. Except for A Few Good Men are from A Few Good Men is 92. There are some movies are from the 70s.
There was a lot of faces of goo in the 70s. A lot of people dying.
Faces,
you know?
Faces of goo. Yeah, that's the famous movie.
Uh-huh. But anyway, Homer then attempts to teach the class the next day with, you know, actual teaching taking place, but he's really bad at it. And he caves almost immediately when the class expresses exasperation at his terrible teaching method. He attempts to tell an anecdote about Mr. X and Mrs. Y. And then in his example, I believe Mrs. Y enjoys having her elbow nibbled in the bedroom. And when Homer goes to quote Mr. X, he says, Marge, if this doesn't get your motor running, my name's not Homer J. Simpson. So, yeah, Homer's really bad at that. And the class, once again, completely devolves into Homer just gossiping about his family. He, of course, then invites the class to dinner to watch their family, which everyone hates, even Lisa. She finds it demeaning. Bart tells a story about dumping a whole bunch of mail down the storm drain, I believe. When Homer chides him for that, he reminds Homer that Homer Double Dog dared them to do it. Homer, of course, gets upset. He starts to choke Bart. Everyone in the class is shocked and horrified, although I can't imagine how that wouldn't have come up in class. Maybe Homer just sees that as commonplace.
Did you not pull Lisa's comment, Matt?
I did not.
Official complaint lodged.
Well, she just finds it demeaning.
Yes, it's great.
Her delivery is quite deadpan and fantastic.
Yes, I really enjoyed it.
But Bart immediately leaves the table. Homer tries to gloss over it and talks to Marge. Marge is still, of course, incensed at this ambushing of people in her home. And she says that she wants that to end right now. Mo, as usual, makes things horrifically worse by suggesting Homer nibble on her elbow. And when Marge realizes that Homer has once again been spreading gossip about his family to the people in the class, she immediately kicks them all out.
Well, now that the little ones have toddled off to bed...
I want this to end now!
Hey, Homer, why don't you just nibble her elbow? That always melts her butter, right?
All right, okay. Everybody out!
Ooh, she's gonna have it!
Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out!
All right, we're breaking early tonight, class. For tomorrow, you should read pages 7 through 18 in Lisa's diary.
You too!
Huh?
Get out!
But I'm not in the class.
Is any of this gonna be on the test? Because I wasn't paying attention.
So, yes, Marge is incredibly upset. Everyone in the class is basically a terrible person for going along with this. And once again, Otto's a moron. And that's when we go to commercial.
Yes. The second act in this is very short. So
extremely short.
Yeah. Most of it is the first act is by far the longest, and third is the second, and then the second act.
It's weird because I really feel like they could have cut between act one and two when Homer like teaches class for the first time. That seems like a perfect point to cut it. I don't know why they went with this weird super long act one and tiny act two, but yeah.
I don't know. We come back. Homer is not bright. I mean, this is an episode where you kind of have to buy that he is, it's never malicious. Like, he's never mean on purpose. But he is colossally stupid.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, this is not one of our mean Homer episodes where Homer is just mean for no reason. It's pretty much just Homer is mean by being stupid.
Yeah.
Which everyone sees as not as bad, I guess.
Yeah. Intention does matter to a certain extent. We even talk about it. They talk about it actually a little bit at the end of the episode. But he talks to Marge and like briefly and like why is he shut out, etc., etc., and you know she quickly like he does not understand that she is kicking him out of the house. He thinks the wind is blowing the door shut.
Yeah,
but it's quickly becomes clear that she can't trust him. She tells him she can't trust him anymore. He's not welcome in the house, basically. Basically lives in the treehouse now, Bart's treehouse. We see him first outside the kitchen window in the treehouse, while Marge is breaking the news basically to Bart and Lisa that, you know, that he's not there, but they both love them. And we learn about Lisa's ball of string.
Wow, I've never seen Mom so mad at Homer before.
I'll tell you a secret, Bart. Every time I'm worried about Mom and Dad, I go to the attic and add to my ball of string.
Poor Snowball too.
No, she gets smushed by the big ball. We see Bart playing with Milhouse, and they discover Homer up in there in Bart's treehouse, washing his underwear in a tub. Which,
when you're living in a treehouse, you have to keep your underwear clean.
I think that's the only piece of clothing that Homer is washing, because both his pants and shirt are already ripped and torn. He is disheveled, looks kind of gross. He spots Reverend Lovejoy going into the house and thinks it's a positive for him.
He's wrong, thankfully.
He's wrong.
Reverend Lovejoy will make Marge take me back. He has to push the sanctity of marriage or his God will punish him.
Get a divorce.
But isn't that a sin?
Marge, just about everything is a sin. You ever sat down and read this thing? Technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
I don't think the Bible says you can't go to the bathroom anywhere.
Well, you never know. There's weird stuff in there.
I've read a lot. I went to Christian school for a long time. I read The Year of Living Biblically. Normal bathroom functions are allowed by the Bible. Marge is we kind of cut to a like Marge just being sad. Like she misses Homer. She misses him around. Like we see her in bed with his big dent, like empty dent in the bed. Which is most of the bed. She's driving down the street, and we see a montage of store signs that are very sad, like Splitsville ice cream and was it Shattered Memories Party Store or something like that?
Yes, I they're the worst names for stores.
That's not a great name for a party store. But and we she's hearing what appears to be like, you know, that kind of flashback audio kind of thing where she's remembering Homer saying, you know, very charming romantic things about their life together. But we quickly realize that Homer is in the back seat, just using a toilet paper roll or a paper towel roll.
It's a little bigger than that. It's a wrapping paper roll.
Wrapping something like a cardboard tube to make that echo effect. And then she throws him out of the car, with a maneuver. Like he flies outside of the car.
When I first watched this and it cut to Homer in the back there, I laughed so hard I fell out of my chair because that was completely unexpected. I'd never seen anything like that in a TV show before.
It's actually like they've done that before multiple times. Like they've done the remembering of people of audio, but
having it actually be in their own head. This is the first time they've subverted that, and it was actually somebody saying something.
Yeah, it's really good. Cut to later that night. Lisa is bringing Homer food, pudding to be exact. She cares about her father. She loves her father. She wants him to at least eat. But she finds him with a new Marge, which is a plant. It's a potted plant that he has put a paper plate over for a face and then sculpted the leaves into her hairstyle.
Yeah, it's a little terrifying.
It's really creepy. I'm barely, if I was a child and found my father doing that, I would be legitimately terrified.
That's the point you go talk to your other parent. I mean, although Lisa's smart and she's probably used to Homer doing terrible things. She's like, oh, it's just dad again.
Yeah, it's a credit to Lisa that, you know, she adjusts even after he accidentally throws it out off the edge of the treehouse and breaks it. She changes the subject and it basically gives him a pep talk and tells him how to fix it, sort of. At least gives him the groundwork.
Look, I brought you some nice pudding.
Oh, your flesh mother used to bring me pudding. Oh, I miss Marge. Lisa, you're smart. Help me trick her into taking me back.
Dad, you can't trick somebody into loving you. There's a reason two people come together and stay together. There's something they give each other that nobody else can give them. If you want to get Mom back, you just have to remember what you give her that nobody else can.
I'll pay you $40 if you think of it for me.
No.
Okay, $30.
Good luck, Dad.
I really like this scene. I really like it. This episode is a little weird, but I really like it because everything, most of it at least, a lot of it is, a lot of the jokes and a lot of the interactions are very character, they come from character first. You know, they're not, like, mm-hmm. The Smithers reference to the Tennessee Williams stuff, it's very like, oh, that makes sense for Smithers. Like, this Lisa, her reaction to the class earlier, her talk with Bart about her ball of string, her talk with Homer here, it feels very true to me. It feels very much like, hey, this is Lisa trying to fix her parents' marriage, but realizing, like, it's realizing that Homer has to do that final step himself. She cannot do that for him.
Which is, as usual, you know, Lisa knows these things far beyond her years, because that's the kind of thing that children probably shouldn't have to know.
No, it wasn't Lisa, I would say. It's certainly not applicable to Bart. Bart, like, and all the characters in this are very, like, they feel fairly tonally consistent with, you know, how they should act. I mean, like, Homer is colossally stupid, but he's never mean, and, I mean, there are literally scenes in The Simpsons where Homer doesn't know how to open doors. So I can't necessarily say that it's out of character for him.
No, it's true. And I think, like you were saying, that's one of the great things about this episode, is everything that every character does is completely within who we know they are. Which is, it's sad that we're not really learning anything new about them, but at the same time, it's better to stay true to character than introduce something wacky. There's no Roy in this episode, thank God. And that kind of sets it apart from, you know, later episodes where they're just having crazy crap happen for the sake of crazy.
Yeah, and it's a marital. I haven't watched this episode in a while. And I'm like, I know it's a Marge Homer marital problem episode, and they've already done this a couple times in the show, and it gets very tired later on. You know, as they get to the teen seasons, I can think of multiple instances where I'm like, basically after the movie. I think they should have stopped doing it after the movie. You know,
yeah, because the movie was the ultimate Marge-Homer relationship strain. After that, I mean, I understand that everything is supposed to reset every week on this show.
Yeah,
but
it's
that's
just how can you
really
top
stressing.
How can you top any of that? Mo comes over to try and court Marge with flowers in a suit.
Seriously, after you're the one who broke them up. Good job.
It's really, I don't know. I think this is the first time we see Mo like show that he likes Marge, has a crush on Marge.
In a serious way, yes. I believe he's made comments before, but it's the first time that, you know, there's been an opening and he has gone for it.
Yeah. This is, he hasn't called her Midge yet, I don't think, right? That's later?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I always love it when he does that. But he comes to the door, and Marge immediately is like, I'm not interested in any way. And Mo's like, oh, like he's so sad. But, like, Marge is just like, you want to come get a drink of water? And he's like, sure. And he just sat on the couch. He's like, he's kind of marvels at the Simpsons household, and it's kind of like filled with like, man, if this had worked out, look at this house and all that. And then Homer comes in, tattered, like even more tattered than before. In like the span of 6 hours, his clothes have been ripped to shreds almost.
Well, apparently Marge is really good at sewing, I guess.
I don't know, like him being outside, I guess it's fair, like we do in like the brief moment he's inside, we see him catch his rags on a coffee table. So
his tattered rags were caught on her coffee table.
Yeah, I really want to like mention this little tiny moment in when Homer comes in and sees Mo there, and Mo is utterly terrified. Homer doesn't like, Homer's completely like, he doesn't think Mo is doing anything ill-intentioned. He's just like, hey, it's Mo. And the music and the framing shifts just a little bit to like emphasize the menace that Mo sees in Homer.
Yeah, because it's obviously not there. Homer is too dumb to realize that why Mo is there. It's just, it's so great that little subtle changes like that can completely move the scene until Mo leaves.
Mo just is like, Mo just gets utterly terrified and runs away. I embrace a window on his way out, crashes through a window. You hear that? Homer is pathetic. He tries to give her flowers, but sees that Mo has already done that. That is what he came up with at first glance. You know, that I can give you something.
That's what he could give her that no one else could.
Flowers. But then sees that Mo has already brought her flowers. But on his way out, after Marge helps him detach himself from the coffee table, he realizes what he can give her.
Hmm. Wait a minute. Wait, that's it. I know now what I can offer you that no one else can. Complete and utter dependence.
Homer, that's not a good thing.
Are you kidding? It's a wondrous, marvelous thing. Marge, I need you more than anyone else on this entire planet could possibly ever need you. I need you to take care of me, to put up with me. And most of all, I need you to love me, because I love you.
But how do I know I can trust you?
Marge, look at me. We've been separated for a day, and I'm as dirty as a Frenchman. In another few hours, I'll be dead. I can't afford to lose your trust again.
And
he's not wrong.
Yeah, I can't pull a clip of them hugging. Like, there's no sound there. But they embrace, and I don't know, it's sad, but true. Everything Homer said, like, it's utterly honest.
Yeah, and I really don't understand why Marge bought taken back. I know obviously the reasons why, but this just, it makes no sense.
No, well, one, I like when you watch a normal sitcom and like King of Queens comes to mind. Like you have like a schlubby dude with a astoundingly beautiful, capable woman, and he just seems to screw up and that's the trope. Like, you know, like you get a schlubby dude who screws up all the time, but he's good, has a good heart. You know, and that's the kind of the trope. And the Simpsons aren't, like, obviously they do that, but episodes like this are why they transcend those other sitcoms. Like, that, and, like, there's a sad truth about, like, a lot of relationships work like this. Like, this is how a lot of people's lives are. Like, and Marge says right after this that, yeah, it's great to be needed. And, like, that's literally, I mean, that
like,
is...
Yeah, but you have kids. They need you way as much as Homer does.
I think it really represents their relationship really well. That Homer is never malicious, And I think he real like what he says, like, I would die without you. And when people say that in relationships, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Like,
Homer would, though.
Homer would die without Marge, like, without someone taking care of him. Like, this episode shows, with it's a day goes by and his clothes fall apart. Like, it's inexplicable. And, like, there is a kind of, I don't know, appeal to that. And I really enjoy that honesty.
It's true. I feel like there are enough people watching that are like, yeah, that's pretty much how it is. I hope that someday I can find someone who will love me despite the fact that I'm literally unlovable like Homer is.
Well, I mean,
maybe somebody could, but...
Well, they've done plenty of episodes that have tackled, like, Homer is good at heart. Like, he has a good... He's not a bad person, so to speak, you know, except for those rare exceptions where he's evil, completely
right,
mean Homer.
For no reason, yeah.
Yeah, like, for the most part, Homer, like, that's why everyone, like, he's always likable, is that he has always good intentions. Or, like, when he makes a mistake, it is out of just him of ignorance, you know? And
yeah,
they don't need to really cover that. Yes, he obviously loves Marge, and when he hurts her, he doesn't necessarily mean to do it, but I think this episode isn't about all that. It's about why he needs, like, why they stick together a lot of time is that he, like, she, like, there's a moment in the conversation that Lisa has with Homer that I didn't pull in the treehouse where he's like, how do I trick her back into loving me? And Lisa's like, you can't do that. It doesn't, you can't just trick people into doing that. And, like, it reminded me of the way we was. Because it kind of echoes that, where he initially tricks her and like into spending time with him by, you know, having those tutoring, the lessons, the French lessons. And they end up, you know, hitting it off. And then he opens up and tells her, I lied about that. I just wanted to spend time with you. And she gets really upset. And I feel like that's so, it like, the fact that that is so tonally consistent, I really appreciate that. Like, the fact that you can tie those moments so close to, like, so closely together.
It's true. It really seems like what they're going for here is that Homer and Marge are together because they can always trust the other person to either, well, you can't really trust Homer to put Marge's needs above his, but you can trust him to act in a dependable way and to always care about Marge. Maybe not to put her above him, but to care about Marge. And Marge always knows that she is looking for someone to devote herself to. And she knows that other types of people may take advantage of her. Homer does, but to a lesser degree. I think the point we're both getting at here is that they're both Hufflepuffs.
I'm not gonna try.
Oh, come on.
And Homer is definitely a Hufflepuff. Okay, that's for sure. I don't know about Marge necessarily.
That's true. She's pretty smart. She could have been a Ravenclaw or a Gryffindor, probably.
I think Marge is a Gryffindor. If we're gonna play this game, Matt, Marge is a Gryffindor. I think Bart is obviously a Slytherin, and Lisa is a Ravenclaw.
Wow, they all fit so perfectly in their little niches.
I don't know Maggie. Maggie's probably she's a wild card. I think she's a Slytherin as well because she has murdered people. You know,
that is true. She shoots people, and she gets the job done. You know, no matter, the ends justify the means for Maggie. So that's Slytherin all the way.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder if Maggie ever grew up, if her and Bart would be friends. Probably.
Oh man, now I need to see a Bart Maggie, like, a little bit in the future, maybe a Maggie as in Bart's age and Bart as a teenager and them getting into hijinks.
Oh man, that would be so great. That's a webcomic. Somebody do it.
But long story short, they get back together. We get the family. Again, it doesn't. I wish it just ended right there too. That's the weirdest thing. Like, I wish it just ended at them being together again. Like, maybe a little one-off gag. But instead, we get the family at the breakfast table again, and it kind of, like, a weird, like, couple gags about them appreciating Homer's back. Bart has, like, oh, I got an F because the stress. And then, the episode ends with Mo at the window, not realizing Homer is back in the family until he sees Homer, and he is afraid again, terrified. And that's the joke that ends the episode.
And we realize, why is Marge with Homer? Because there's no one better in her life.
And, yeah, I mean, the Bachelor's in Springfield. Not great. I don't know. I mean, they have that discussion multiple times about, you know, Marge going to somewhere. Like, Artie Ziff, I think, is that main, like, oh, here's a rich, smart guy, but he's a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. It basically, that's the world the Simpsons live in. There are no all-around good guys. They're
except
either
for Tom.
Crazy. Well, yeah, but we never see him again. I'm pretty sure he moved out of Springfield when he realizes the kind of people that live there.
That's probably true. But overall,
anyone who's smart is probably also evil in Springfield or socially inept.
I really like this episode. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. I think the main thing I like about it is the fact that everything is rooted in character. Like, even most of the gags are not just one-off crazy, like, hey, that's a joke. It's more like, hey, this is a joke coming from a character trait of somebody. Again, we'll rank it at the end of the show. I'm not talking about it. I'm still not sure where to do that. I looked over the list. I have no idea. No submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you have a favorite episode, please send it in to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com explaining why an episode is your favorite, and I will read it on air when we get to that episode. We're going to have a bunch of them as we get through the next couple seasons. I'm getting a bunch of people sending them in. We're about to hit season 6, guys, so get them in. Our next segment, Matt, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group. It's archived on Google Groups. Has comments from way, way back in the day, right when the show was getting started for the most part. And I go look at a couple weeks after the episode came out and see what people were talking about. Here we go, Matt. You want an opinion about this episode? Here we go. I hate to say it, but the season finale was not very funny. There was some good satire as always and a few good laughs, but the show seems to be in decline. The repeat about Grandpa Simpson was hysterical even after I've seen it 4 times. Maybe those who want Conan O'Brien off late night are right. He'd be better back on The Simpsons. So that not only insulted The Simpsons, it also insulted Conan O'Brien's late night show.
Yeah, seriously. Screw that guy. He was wrong in all kinds of ways.
It's constant.
Maybe he was just dead inside.
I don't know. There's a constant fighting about that. I don't like. That's the thing. Like, I mentioned this before, but every time as I read more and more of these, like, I understand the plight of the creators as they've gone through the later seasons because they've been hearing this since the beginning. Like, it's never changed. Like, I do. I mean, obviously, the show is not as great as it was in these seasons, but. I understand why they feel the way they do when people criticize the show. Yeah. Simpsons for season 6 return to Sundays from the Thursday night. I believe Fox has officially tucked their tail between their legs and admitted that the Simpsons are much better on it Sunday at 8, and they have been there since the season 6. Which is yes, I much better. I think everyone. I know I watched it when it was on Thursdays. I just don't remember it. I was too young.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I was 9 years old when this. I was 8 years old when this aired, so I don't really remember watching it Thursdays. I remember on Sundays staying up to watch The Simpsons. And finally, Matt Groening hates Richard Nixon a lot.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
No, I mean, like, a lot. Like, there was an op-ed, I think, in something that someone pulled. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but he lists why Nixon is a bad man. Called him a bad person.
Well, he's not super wrong.
No, Nixon did some pretty bad, did some bad stuff as president. I mean, he was impeached. He resigned, I guess. He never got impeached.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, impeachment is not that big a deal. I mean, he wouldn't be the first president to have been impeached. It's to actually convict you. That's what things.
He would have been convicted, I think, would have been the problem.
Probably. That's why he ran.
Yeah. I don't know. With all the Nixon jokes in Futurama, you can kind of, you don't necessarily feel like the hatred, but he really did not like Richard Nixon. Matt Groening was the perfect age to be, like, young enough to be alive when Nixon was president.
And be horrifically embarrassed by
him. Yeah, and hate it. But that's about it. People, like, they don't like this episode very much on the news groups.
Well, I'm sure they're used to it. They're like, why can't we go back to season 2 and all the great
They talked explicitly about Homer's stupidity, how he's gotten dumber.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's not, they're not wrong, but the show's just changing. It's a different thing than it was. But I think that's enough. Let's see. It is time for listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
The hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
The listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein written episode? Not a bunch of responses, but all good.
It's kind of a tough question because, I mean, even when we ask for the Schwarzwelder episodes, you just click on Schwarzwelder's name and it shows all the ones, whereas it's two different people. You kind of have to go through.
No, they, I understand. They, well, they shared all the, they shared all their episodes, all the written episodes. They wrote all together. They did not split credits. But I will read them regardless. Lost my notes there for a moment. Okay, from John at Chopstop 3. Oh, wait. Sam at Flipside. Bart vs. Australia. Hashtag Knifey Spoonie. John at Chopstop 311. You can't handle the truth for my answer. No truth handler you. Bah, I deride your truth handling abilities. Sideshow Bob Roberts. Hashtag Sideshow Bob Roberts. Zach, 22 short films about Springfield. It was awesome to see some of our favorite side characters get some attention. Plus, I get the gave us the phenomenal Steenham's Aurora Borealis bit. Still one of the best jokes in the series history. Sean, actually Young with Terror at 5.5 feet from Trails of Horror. 4, you have great jokes, and every character, especially Skinner, is comedy gold. Plus, without the segment, we wouldn't have Uther, which would create the great Homer joke. That kid's got bosoms, who's got a wet towel? Finally, we have Brian. I have two sort of odd answers to this question. The Skinner's Charmers section of 22 short films about Springfield is quite possibly one of the greatest scenes in Simpsons history. Also, the last thing I read the whole episode, another sort of cheating answer I would put out there would be the combo of Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 1 and 2. Go watch those episodes over and over and over and never get sick of them. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to go with 22 short episodes about Springfield, mainly because...
Films.
It's... Sorry, 22 short films about Springfield.
Get it right!
I got the 22. It's the important part of the title, because you know how much I love the side characters. I love the core family, but I really enjoy getting to know a little more about the side characters. And so many of these were send ups of film and television, and it was just a really packed in 22, 21, 23 whatever minutes of side characters and just all around fun stuff happening. And I know it doesn't have, the heart that we like to look for in the great Simpsons episodes, but it's just a really fun episode, and sometimes it's all you need.
Yeah, I'm having a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Torn.
Are you also Natalie Imbruglia? Yes, 90s jokes.
Go jump in the garbage can. Terrible. Bart vs. Australia. Final answer. I'm gonna Bart vs. Australia. It's either that or Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song, but I'm gonna go Bart vs. Australia at the end of the day. It manages, like, most of the Simpsons Abroad episodes are actually not good. Not great, or, they're, like, average or slightly above average. Like, there's that one, Crepes of Wrath is a very early episode. It's okay. Like, the one they go to Japan is fine. Yeah. But there's the Africa one, there's the England one, not the
Canada one,
Brazil. None are those are that good. Bart vs. Australia somehow, like, it just manages to make that tired trope of sitcom families going to, like, a foreign country and makes it really good and really clever and really funny.
Yeah, it's just that I feel like you put the Simpsons in another country and all of their antics are typical sitcom antics. Nothing that would be, except for Bart versus Australia, nothing the Simpsons do in another country is not indicative, but what I mean? Nothing is unique to the way the Simpsons would react to something. And I think that's a lot of the downfalls for the ones where they go abroad.
Yeah, Bart versus Australia avoids all that stuff. I mean, it's just because of, like, our preconception about Australia is that it's so wacky,
mm-hmm.
and they could just keep it wacky. But I don't know. Bart vs. Australia is a great episode. Our question for next week, very simple one. Favorite season 5 moment. We are through season 5. What is your favorite moment from the season? It is I think I have my answer, but I'm not positive. I have to think about it.
It is a murderer's row of good moments.
Yeah, there's tons of great episodes in season 5, and trying to pick one particular moment from it is going to be tough. I'll post this question on all of our social media, on our Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and email us again at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to any of those places. Comment, like, follow, comment, social media things. I try and post links to stuff when I can. All that, etc., etc. All right. It's time for a reckoning, Matt. It is time.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring 3 trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. And try and stump the other this season. Season 5. Which, this is the last episode of season 5, we had a little wager. Whoever loses has to drink a blended concoction of Simpsons food items we are calling the Mulk Shake. I am behind 5 points. It is not impossible for me to lose, for me to, I could win still, theoretically. What happens if we tie, Matt?
I think we both have to drink.
Okay. Also possible for me to tie, but it require a tremendous effort on my part and Matt to choke. I don't think that's going to happen, but we're going to try.
My questions are not that hard, so it's definitely a possibility.
I didn't go that hard on you either. I just, you know. I'll start us off, Matt. How about that, okay?
All right.
These are all these are from Trash of the Titans.
Ooh, I love that episode.
I wrote about it for our Patreon, about the ending in particular. They moved the town. Your easy question is, what holiday is created in Trash of the Titans?
Love Day.
That's correct. That's another Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah, I guess it kind of is, but...
It aired on Valentine's Day, is what I'm... Or near Valentine's Day, gotcha, that's what
gotcha,
I mean.
Gotcha. I was like, but no, it happens in early summer, you know? All right, you ready for your easy question?
Yeah.
Okay, these are all questions from season 6, so see how well you know it before we actually watch it.
Oh, God.
Who is the title character in Bart's girlfriend?
The title character?
Yes, who is it referring to? Who is Bart's girlfriend in that episode?
Jessica Lovejoy.
You are correct, sir.
That's the easy question. You're going easy on me. Okay, sure. Medium question, Matt.
Okay.
Who is the existing sanitation commissioner in Trash of the Titans, and who voices him?
Oh, man. It's Ray Patterson. Have you asked me this before?
I don't remember.
Okay. And it's, oh, God, I can hear his voice. I want to say Steve Martin, but that's not right, is it?
I don't know, Matt. You have to, I can't, you have to.
That's the only person I can come up with, so let's go with that.
You're correct.
Oh, seriously? Okay.
I'm just throwing the town now. Come on, give me a medium question. Probably getting more right now.
When the other stonecutters abandon Homer to found the No Homer Society, where do they meet? What former storefront do they take over?
No Homers.
Yes, thank you. That's the correct name.
It's No Homers.
Ancient mystical society of No Homers.
I know this.
I'll give you a hint. It's an ice cream store.
God. I can't think of it. I don't know.
It's a Baskin-Robbins.
Oh, I'm done. Okay, your hard question, Matt.
Okay.
Who is Trash the Titans dedicated to?
Dedicated to?
Yes, in memory of.
I have no idea.
Linda McCartney.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That would have been right about when she died, isn't it?
It died shortly before the episode aired. She was obviously Lisa the Vegetarian.
Yeah.
Give me a hard question, Matt.
Okay, this one's actually pretty tough, but name 6 of the dead people or pets that vote for Sideshow Bob in Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Snowball 1.
Okay.
I can't. Let me... trying to think of the dead people. I think that's it. I can't think of anyone. I'm totally blanking.
Oh, man. I was able to name 7 of these off the top of my head. There's 9 total.
I can't... You're... Well...
Okay,
three
of them died in a plane crash in the 50s. Does that
okay.
Help?
Oh, well, Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens.
That's pretty good.
That gets me up to 4. I still lose. What are the rest of them?
It was Edgar Neubauer, the name that Smithers gave him, Prudence Goodwife, who died in the 1600s. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Bananas and Humphrey Bogart.
Mr. and Mrs. Bananas.
Those are the ones I remembered were Mr. and Mrs. Bananas.
Oh, God. Well, that gets me another 1-pointer. I've had 3 weeks in a row I'm getting 1 point, so I'm obviously great at this game. Matt gets 3 for this week, and that leaves us at a final score, Matt 69, and me with 62 lousy points.
Aww.
And I lose. I don't know. I lost my chance a couple weeks back. When I could not get this hard question, I had to get some hard questions, right? Just couldn't do it. So Matt has won the season 5 challenge. So I don't know. It's not going to be certainly this weekend or maybe within a week or two of this, whenever we can get some time to record us blending food things together and me drinking
it.
It's
going to be gross.
I honestly, I'm not too concerned about the taste. It's whatever, it will be entertaining. I'll put it on YouTube and I'll put it up. You guys can watch it. I'll announce it, let you know when it is available. I'll probably have a list out there of all the food items we'll put in there too. I'm not going to include, we are running long today, so I'm going to cut it short for trivia. But again, if you have any trivia questions or theme you'd like us to use, please send them in and I will ask Matt and we can center our questions around them if you so choose. I think we can cut to the chase, get to our final segment, Matt, segment win every single episode with It Is Time for Best Episode Ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Dun, dun, dun.
Best episode ever. We rank the episode categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. I don't know where to put this one, Matt. It's a tricky one.
You mentioned The Way We Was.
I don't think it's better than The Way We Was. I'm trying to think of other like Homer Marge relationships ones. There's like 30.
Our name Marge.
Yeah, it's 27, and that's in the area I would put this at. In that,
I don't know. Ballpark. Right below that is Colonel Homer, which it's kind of a guest feature, but it's also kind of a Homer Marge, and I think that one's better than this one.
I don't know. I think
really,
Colonel Homer is very like sweet. And the singing is spectacular. The songs are really great. But I think this just has more depth and speaks more to The Simpsons as a show. Like, it's kind of getting at the, like, what makes The Simpsons special. Like, Colonel Homer
is
really just,
strips the Homer Marge thing to the core. You're right.
Yeah, like, that's, this episode is funny. Like, it's certainly it has a lot of, I laughed multiple times. I laughed at the Homer in the backseat. I laughed at Lisa, multiple Lisa moment, like Homer's weird, crazy plant Marge. I thought that was really funny, weird. I don't know. It's a tricky one. I would honestly probably put it, if it was just me, I would put it probably at 22.
22, way up there, huh?
I would put it at 22. Right below, that's Lisa the Greek is 21. Homer the Vigilante is number 22. Currently would be moved down to 23. Streetcar Named Marge is 27. And you said Colonel Homer is 30, which you think is better.
Well, like you said, this really does strip it down to the core of Homer and Marge, and that's valuable. And like you said, there are a lot of really funny moments. The clips I captured alone are quite hilarious. I don't know. I guess I just didn't find this as humorous. Like, there were several parts where I giggled a little bit, and I really appreciated the emotional core this episode has, but nothing really sparked for me.
Colonel Homer, I think, is carried by the music. I don't think Colonel Homer is especially hilarious.
I think you're right. It probably is better than Colonel Homer. And the more I think about it, the more it's slightly different. It's Marge being jealous. It's not about really the core Homer-Marge relationship.
I think A Streetcar Named Marge is a very a better comparison. Mm-hmm. But frankly, this episode does not have an actual really comparison on this list.
No, it really doesn't. It's the first time that's the focus.
Yeah, it's never, like, there's other episodes where there's relationship problems, but it's always involving another person. It's all, like Last Temptation of Homer, or Colonel Homer, or even Jacques. What's the name of the episode with Jacques?
Put it down to the bottom of our list.
It's not that low. It's in the middle somewhere, I think.
Life on the Fast Lane.
Life in the Fast Lane.
Number 91.
Is it 91?
It's 91.
God. Well, it was first season.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was that low. But I mean, that's another, Homer's Night Out, like those episodes, they're very much like, they're tempted by another person outside of a relationship. What's the episode where Homer gets Marge a bowling ball? That's Life on the Fast Lane. Part of it, I feel, is comparable, but then it springs off into like Marge, ends up, almost, getting tempted by shock.
Right.
It's never like a pure distillation of, where they go to the marriage counselor. I think that is a better comparison.
The War of the Simpsons.
War of the Simpsons. With that, I think that is actually the closest, and I don't think that's as good as this episode. And I don't know. I often
that was 83.
Yeah, I often appreciate episodes a lot, not necessarily like I don't know. I feel like all of these episodes are really smart and really funny, but when they really speak to the characters, I tend to appreciate them a lot more. That's why I probably put this one so high. I understand why you would not put it as high as I would. Where, your opinion, Matt, where would you put it? What number would you put it at?
I would probably put it at number 28, right behind A Streetcar Named Marge, because I really feel that that episode does something similar to this, and it incorporates more of what makes a really good Simpsons episode to me. It's funnier. It has, you know, more interesting side characters and, you know, everyone who's involved in the play and that sort of thing. And it really gives Marge more agency in what happens. I think that's one of my issues with this particular episode, is it's really all about Homer. Marge strictly reacts to what Homer does. And I really like the fact that in A Streetcar Named Marge, it's actually more Marge doing, you know, what she wants and Homer kind of reacting to her, which is not something we see. We always see Marge reacting to what Homer does. And this episode kind of carries it on. I do agree that this episode is really good at getting to the core of their relationship. I just think A Streetcar Named Marge did a little better, and it had songs in it, or a song.
it had songs. Certainly Marge is reacting to Homer in this episode, but the power dynamic is clearly in Marge's favor. And I think it always is. She just never exercises that power. And I think that,
true.
I think it speaks to Marge that she doesn't, you know, that she loves Homer enough that she puts up with a lot of his stuff without trying to, you know, like, honestly, healthy relationships, you don't really, there shouldn't be power plays. Like, you know, you should just do what's right all the time and not go like, oh, well, this put me in charge, like, put me above the other person. Like, that's not a healthy relationship. But clearly, Marge kicks out Homer, and he is powerless to stop it. Homer backtalks her one time, and with those movie references, she quickly shuts him down. Like, it is Homer acting out and Marge going, like Homer acting like a child, and him learning, like, humility. And, like, he's on his knees in front of Marge at the end of this episode, basically. Like, I need you. Like, I can't live without you, literally. I will die. What's a good compromise, Matt?
Well, you wanted to put it at, what, 23?
22.
22.
Right above Homer the Vigilante.
Jeez, 22.
I know, I'm a crazy person.
I don't know, I could probably go as high as 24, but putting it above Homer at the Bat and Homer the Vigilante, I really can't see that.
How about we put it, sure, at 24 is okay? I can do 24.
Okay.
I can do 24. I think that's a good compromise. I thought I would not enjoy this episode as much as I did with the rewatch and, you know, the ranking and all that. I thought I would go, yeah, it's a good one, but not great. But I really, you know, reading into it, it really does deep dive into kind of the core of The Simpsons and why they are better than a lot of sitcoms, you know. This is also one of Ricky Gervais's 5 favorite episodes.
Interesting.
His top 5. He specifically highlights how much he enjoys that ending scene, Homer and Marge, for the similar reasons that we discussed. Okay. New number 24, Secrets of a Successful Marriage. I'm really curious. Like, I get people message us and like, I can't believe you put it like that place. I would put it completely different place. And I everyone's list is completely different. And I think that's really fun. But yeah, new number 24, Secrets of Successful Marriage. Number 1, Cape Fear. Made it through entirety of season 5 without being supplanted. We'll make it through season 6. Who knows? See. Only time will tell. What is our first episode of season 6, Matt?
See, season 6, I believe it is Bart of Darkness.
Darkness. Great episode. Great episode. Hitchcock parody. But yeah. Oh, and last place, still Homer's Odyssey. Now number 101.
Got a few years with that one.
102, excuse me. Our list is broken. I need to fix the formatting on this thing somehow. It will be supplanted by also in last place. Something will take over last place at a certain point. At least I will argue for it. I don't know about Matt. I can't, you know, Matt's a wild card. Maybe he'll like the episode I have in mind. Or at least not think it's the worst. We'll see.
We'll see. It probably is.
I don't want to spoil the surprise, so we'll talk about it when we get there. think we'll do it for this week. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you are a certain level Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. However, this weekend I will be roaming the streets in the middle of the night waiting to pick up Robbie and take him to the airport. So if you see a crazy person mumbling in the dark, probably best just leave me alone. I'm probably still half asleep.
I don't want you driving me half asleep, Matt.
That's why I'm bringing my wife.
Okay. I mean, if it works. I mean, you guys do you. Whatever. I think with that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching this episode.
Shh.